Number five. Number five.
Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the SF and fantasy short fiction podcast. This week's story is called Lost, and it's by Jake Jackson. Only the scientists had survived. When the surface of the planet had become intolerable, they had blocked themselves into the earth. The rivers had dried up, vegetation burned. So the scientists, the only remaining community of rational beings, sought protection and water. They followed the ancient channels and sinkholes, progressing in a long, single column into the depths of the earth, humans shambling down towards the mantle of the planet. Enduring the utter lack of visibility, the scientists soon grew impatient with natural selection and turned their considerable minds to finding new methods for seeing in the total darkness. Within a few weeks, they'd built a test model from scraps of metal and other materials they'd brought with them. They developed a construction of spectacles that could detect the outlines and shapes all around, and although, necessarily, each tangled mass of metal would be different, they all performed the same function. Within two generations, every human underground wore these contraptions. Hundreds of scientists and their children placed the spectacles on their eyes and began to explore their dark domain, seeking ever lower in long, desultory lines. They kept their contraptions on for longer and longer each day, week and month. Eventually, they would sleep with them on. And soon the number of scientists who knew what anything had looked like originally dwindled, leaving their children and those who had been born underground to continue the fight against irrelevance and disaster. Each successive generation of scientists lost a few more of the basic skills and soon ran out of materials. They built no new technologies. There were no giants on whose shoulders they might climb, and so they clung grimly to the remnants of original machinery. Over time, they had grown used to the distant sounds of the underworld, quiet scuffles in the distance echoing through the narrow corridors, slides and scree shifting above their heads, the scuttling and shuffling of animals that accompanied, stalked or preyed on them. But recently, they had all begun to feel huge shocks that rumbled through the underground caverns for hours. One day, the last long line of scientists stumbling down into the planet turned as one and heard the roar of heavy rocks several leagues above them, closer than ever. Soon there would be a crescendo of noise, and in the following days a storm of rock, grit and dust would engulf all of those who could not find a recess to cower within. The bellow of rock grew closer still. The human line had just pushed on through a narrow crack onto a ledge that led to the natural steps and a plateau that stretched long into the dark below. It was the tipped edge of an ancient seam, dislodged by some recent earthquake. A dribble of water spilled down through the opening as the line shuffled through, aware of the racing tide of rock behind them. If they went too far, they would be swamped on the plateau, but if they could flatten themselves against the side, the rock flow would fall past them and settle. But as the sound grew louder and closer, they realized that something was different. It was too regular. The thunder was loud but not erratic, and a curious glow arrived like fingers around the edges of the top of the distant cavern, the passage through which they had passed only 2 days before. The sound grew. The faint light bloomed like an ache in the darkness, pushing its way into the shadows, a probe into a wound. And the line of scientists turned in awe, blinded by the lambent spectacle, entranced by the horror and the beauty of the oncoming tide as it crashed down, slapping and breaking across the sides of the rock, rearing up alongside the shivering, timorous line. And rather than rock or dust, the scientists saw that the noise was made by hundreds and thousands of small silver spheres, many of which bounced into the folds of the torn clothing of the scientists, each of whom shrank from the sight of their fellows suddenly illuminated for the first time in generations. Emaciated, disfigured, with weird contraptions forged into their eyes and ears, they did not carry the true likeness of themselves in their own minds. As the thick silver tide flew by, a curious hand shot out from its narrow alcove and pricked a sphere in its bony fingers. The dilapidated human pulled its hand back into the crevice and turned the sphere in its fingers, staring down the makeshift technology that allowed it to see in the deep, dark corridors of the earth. But it could barely see beyond the bright, blinding light, a brightness that made the scientist shudder at the strangeness of this invasion. The storm of silver spheres rumbled past for hours, but then raced on across the plateau, filling it before sliding further. The scientist stared at the sphere. The sphere stared at the scientist. Stillness superseded the noise of the storm. The sound of the spheres disappeared slowly into the earth, reverberating for days, weeks, months and years. "Can you still see them? These are pretty weird creatures underground. Are you getting the pictures?" The silver ball relayed the images to the beings on the surface of the planet who clustered around their giant screens. All they could see was a murky eye. "I can't reach it. There seems to be a barrier." "What happens if you turn?" "I can't. The human's holding me too tightly. And if I could, I'd join the others." "Of course. All the others have gone. I think this one's blind." "Perhaps we could join with these blind head creatures. We have the sight, they have the mobility. Then we could find the planet's water more easily." "Don't be daft. When it takes its barrier down, I can spin into its head and occupy its cranium." "Yeah, but then all you'd see is the inside of its skull." "Oh, yeah, I suppose." The sphere paused. "You know, I don't think it's alive." "How long have you been down there, friend?" "Well, it's only 300 cycles of their sun." "Oh, that's no time at all." "Okay, I'll see what happens to this barrier if I turn up the brightness." The sphere flared. The hand that was holding it in its rigor mortis grip collapsed as the body that had been staring at the sphere slid into dust. "Oh, they're a bit flimsy, these humans. No wonder they didn't survive." And so the last human form scattered in the subtle breezes underground, joining the billions of others who had once inhabited this barren lump of rock, a planet whose remaining moisture would be sucked dry by the spheres and transported elsewhere.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening. There's more information on this and other stories, plus loads of articles on Gothic, fantasy, SF, authors, art, movies, and more at thesefantasticworlds.com. See you next time.